The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis, with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Welcome back, everybody. What comes to mind, I want to ask you, when you think of about a fire eater? Well, this week, our topic is about fire eating. Not about circus performers, but the true deep fire in your soul that you quest for success. I can't tell you enough about my guest. I would have to have several shows because his accolades, his accomplishments. I'll just have to begin from the beginning. Dr. Randolph Howes is my guest. And born in rural Louisiana, coming from a small town, he has accomplished so much. And if you want to know what the real meaning of a Renaissance man is, just listen to some of his accomplishments. He's the only person at Tulane University, which was my, I guess, nemesis at Loyola, but he succeeded in getting a PhD and an MD at the same time, MD and PhD in biochemistry. And he has so many different, he's a scientist, surgeon, plastic surgeon, writer, visionary, philanthropist, international lecturer, singer, songwriter. He's published a lot of songs. Business entrepreneur. He's also published many besides medical journals and articles, but books. I'm getting there. Broadcaster, inventor, corporate executive, and rancher. And most of all, he's my guest. I'm so excited to welcome Dr. Randolph Howes. Welcome, Dr. Howes.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today and a chance to get to talk with your audience.
Oh, I'm so happy. And I guess I'm probably threw people off when I said about fire eater. And that's one of the books that you've written. And that's mostly about molding your destiny to success and empowerment. Can you tell us a little bit of how you started out? I mean, so that the audience can know that.
Yes. When I was at Johns Hopkins in my internship, that's Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, for my internship in general surgery and plastic surgery, we had a term amongst the residents. If someone else was really aggressive, an achievement-oriented person, we would nonchalantly refer to them as a fire eater. Well, that term stuck, and the book was written as a fire eater being the personification of a person who is indeed achievement and goal-oriented. Now, in my career, I had accomplished an awful lot by a young age, and one day I was in my office in New Orleans, my plastic surgery office, and one of my friends, and in fact, a number of the friends, had said, "How have you done what you have done in such a short period?" You know, because literally I came from a small strawberry farm east of Ponchatoula, Louisiana. You know, we had an adequate but limited income. But I realized that I had all of the same materials, the books, et cetera, that individuals had at the finest institutions in the world. And had some of the finest teachers right in Ponchatoula. And fortunately, I was sort of born an adult. I had the ability to see not only what was going on with my childhood peers, but could see down the road quite a ways, 10, 15, even 20 years further down the road as to what my life should be and what I wanted it to be. And there was even a saying by Abraham Lincoln that if you want to know the future, the best way to predict it is to create it yourself. And that is indeed the case. And so these individuals asked, how did I do what I had done in such a short period? I said, well, I just applied some very basic principles. They said, well, why don't you share those with us? So that's when I wrote the book, The Fire Eaters, and with the subtitle, Molding Your Destiny More Easily. And it is available on Amazon, and it's very inexpensive. It's a small book, but designed small because it's a powerful book. It's the kind of book that you can read very quickly, but the principles will stick. It's a how-to book. It's a how to become successful. And that's something that many, many people need to know. They need to get their principles in order, get a guideline of someone who has been successful. Don't be listening to someone who can't accomplish anything as to how to be successful. They don't know how. Talk to someone who has indeed been successful and listen to them.
And you know what apply. I like?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. What I like most about you is, like, you know, don't be just a talker. You got to be a doer. I mean, it's okay to envision, but do it. Don't just, sit on your laurels. I think that was main motivation.
That's exactly right. In fact, in some of my more recent books, my academic books, I put my credo there. And my credo is, I am the one who wishes to be studious when others do not want to study, to be diligent when others do not want to work, and the one who remains curious for discovery whilst others remain pacified. I am the doer. I can, I will, I must. That's my credo.
And you know what? It seems like it's worked so successful for you. And it's so basic. And people, it's so basic, but yet it just goes over people's heads. What do you think? I mean, is it just the sort of culture we live in?
Well, in a sense, America, unfortunately, many people have grown kind of fat and kind of lazy. By fat, I don't mean obese. I mean, they're just not really willing to go out and put out the kind of effort that it takes to be an achiever. Old Walt Disney was the one who said, if you can dream it, you can do it. But with that is the caveat that to achieve extraordinary things requires extraordinary effort. That is a bottom line that you cannot get around. And people in our current day and age are more interested, it seems, in instant gratification. You know, I don't want to have to go work for it. Hey, I want it now. I want a new boat, I want a new car, I want a new house, etc. I just want it now because I'm here. Well, it's not going to happen that way. These things are not going to fall out of the sky. You have to plan for it. You have to then make it happen with persistence. And, one of the favorite quotes in The Fire Eaters, in the book The Fire Eaters, is the one about persistence alone being omnipotent. And it's called, the little poem in there, it's called Press On. And it goes like this. It says, let me get this straight here. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education alone will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Now, at the time that I wrote the book, which was in 1982, I didn't realize who the author was. The author was none other than Calvin Coolidge.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering because, I mean, it just sent shivers up my spine, and it said author unknown. And I was wondering, were you just hiding that from us? Because
no.
So it really was. It was President Coolidge, huh?
Yeah. There was no Google search back then.
Wow. Oh, that's true. I mean,
and later in my years, I found that out. I said, wow, I have to give old Calvin Coolidge credit.
Yeah.
This guy's really on to something, because that persistence is what will bring home the bacon. You know, there's a chapter in the Fire Eater's book, called the Bop Bag Principle, and hats off to Bozo the Clown, referring to the fact that there used to be a toy for kids. It was weighted in the bottom, like Bozo the Clown, and if you'd punch him, you'd knock him over, but the weight would pull him, he'd stand back up. If you knock him down 10 times, he stands up 10 times. Knock him down 100, he stands up 100. And my point there is, hats off to Bozo the Clown. You have to have that ability to stand back up after you've been knocked down repeatedly. We're all going to get knocked down, but it's the winners, it's the achievers who stand back up. In fact, let me give you a brief anecdote, if I may, Suzanne.
Sure.
One of the vice presidents of the company that produced my catheter, and we'll talk about that in a minute if you'd like, he had that title to that chapter on his wall in his office. He liked it so much. That was it. That meant so much to him. Just by reading that chapter, you get back up. You're the bop bag. They knock you down, but you're not staying down no matter what. You get back up.
And you know what I like? You had said, I don't know whether you had written a paper like, and you resubmitted it like, I don't know, almost 100 times until it was into perfection to it. But it's now published in 30 countries.
Well, this is true. You cannot accept that no for an answer. And even with my catheter, it was turned down by the 10 biggest manufacturers of catheters in the world. But I would not accept that. And it went on to become the number one venous catheter in the world, credited with helping save the lives of over 20 million critically ill patients worldwide. But that's all because of persistence. Because even at one point, I had to sue infringers. They came out of the woodwork. Once you prove that something is successful, then others want it. They don't necessarily want to pay you for it, but they will take it if you aren't careful. So that, as a consequence, it took 6 years and $2.1 million in attorney's fees to successfully prove that a number of these companies had just out and out stolen my invention.
Oh, my gosh. And, I mean, like so many people today, I mean, you know, when you put on hold for customer service, people, and you're told no, and they just give up, and they, like, hang up. You know, it just seems like we've lost the determination for pursuit of what we need or for success. And
indeed we have. And we've lost the desire for excellence. So many now want to accept mediocrity. Well, it's okay. I'm doing okay. Why? You can have, during that same time period, achieve great things if you're willing to expend the energy and the effort.
I mean, I go back. We're going back to a culture of, like, entitlement, like you said.
Oh, yes, yes.
Immediate gratification.
We're an entitlement nation now, and this is what's bringing us down. As they say, we have more people now who vote for a living than who work for a living. Well, Forrest Gump can see that that's going to be disastrous ultimately. But yet, how do you change that? It's difficult.
That's a good question. And I'm sure that you have a lot of thoughts to that. And we can be going to break in about 50 seconds. But until then, what would you, you know, one thing that you can say, you know, right off the bat, because, I mean, you're so brilliant and, you know, you've just done everything. I mean, but just in a short sentence, what would you say? If you had the one opportunity to say one thing to change it, what would you say?
I would say think big. You've got to be able to envision what you want to do and think big. As Michelangelo said, the greater danger for most of us lies not in setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving your mark. No, set that goal high. Aim for the stars, and you'll reach those stars.
Okay, we're getting ready to go to break right now with Dr. Randolph Hiles. When I come back, I'm going to question you on that because I have a question really to see if you can answer me. So we'll be back with Dr. Randolph Hiles. Thank you.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier?
especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness Presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, I'm back with Dr. Randolph House, who I'm totally in awe with, I have to say, as my guest. I don't know anybody that has so much accomplishments in their life and not being handed to him on a plate. He succeeded and did everything that he sought out to do. And going to our break, I asked him what is the one thing he would say, you know, this piece of advice, and he said, think big. Well, I ask you, Dr. House, what about these kids that think big, like they think automatically, you know, like fame, success, you know, the big trappings, the cars, the jewelry. That's big, right?
Yeah, that's big, and those things can be achieved. But today, unfortunately, so many are not willing to put out the work effort to gain those things for themselves. They want someone to give it to them. It's not going to happen that way. Things just are not going to fall out the sky. You've got to prepare, and you've got to work hard, and then you can make all of it happen. You've just got to be that success-oriented. You know, many individuals have climb those ladders of success, and including people like Steve Jobs. You know, what a success he has been. And one of the things he says, have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become, and everything else then becomes secondary. You've got to be willing to sacrifice to that degree. Mario Puzo, the writer of The Godfather and such, he made a similar observation in terms of individuals who wanted to be successful writers. He said, fine, but write for yourself, not for your mother, your neighbors, your friends, or anyone else. Write for yourself, but write. And eventually, you're going to become successful. It takes a lot of work, though. I'll give an example.
I'm sorry.
Back about when I reached 60 years of age, I said, you know, I have some revolutionary ideas that I want to get into print about heart disease and cancer for this country and HIV, AIDS, and malaria for the developing countries. Those are the four biggest killers of mankind. Suzanne, I set out on a mission then, and I spent 10 years in my office here working to get those ideas into book form and on the World Wide Web. They're there now. They're on the web. But in that time period, I had heard of an individual who was going to write a book back during the war, and he was going to write it about one of the generals. And he found out that he had a fatal disease, and he only had 6 months to live. So with his determination, he managed to write that book in 6 months. And I said to myself, if this man can write a book in 6 months, so can I. For almost 10 years, I averaged a book every 6 months.
That's what I'm trying to, I don't think my audience, I think you have like 26 pages for your BIT. I mean,
yes, it's 20. Yes, yeah, 20 some pages now.
That's why I was trying to tell the audience: there's no way I could possibly. I mean, this is such an honor to have you, and I think in one of your chapters you said it takes nerve, guts, and brains.
And that's right. That's exactly right. And without that combination, you've got to. When you're on that course, you've got to be ready to go take success. And, you know, it's not what you earn, but it's what or how badly you yearn for success. You've got to really yearn for it. And as a fire eater, you will not have difficulty in wiping out the other group that I call the wimps of the world. But you've got to be able to deal with them on a daily basis. There's a lot of politics involved in everything these days, meaning intersocial politics within offices. If you get too aggressive, others might get jealous or might feel threatened. You've got to be very smart. That's where the brains come in, as to how to work your way up these poles, up these corporate ladders, whatever it might be, and do so successfully. But you've always got to keep that positive attitude, and when you find individuals with negative attitudes around you, you get rid of them. You stay away from them. It's kind of like listening to, if you will, there are things called prosperity preachers, like Joel Osteen, and he always has a positive message. If the negatives gets around you too much, it's going to bring you down. You've got to stay positive. You've got to keep your goals in sight. And you've got to let nothing deter you from getting there.
I call those people energy vampires. That they,
you're right.
I mean, they suck you, and they take you in because they feed off your positivity, and then you feeling drained. And oh Lord, I know a couple of them. but anyway,
yeah,
I mean, yes, you do. I mean, that's a good point. You need to surround yourself with the type of people that will uplift you, not bring you down, or, you know, have
absolutely.
Yeah.
Another big factor is how you use your time. Time is one of the most democratic things that there is. In other words, I have 24 hours a day. You have 24 hours a day. The Queen of England has 24 hours a day. President Obama has 24 hours a day. It's equal to all of us. What do you do with that 24 hours? You got to make time your ally. And if you waste time, time will become your enemy. And we all have very limited, very finite times here on God's green earth. So we've just got to be as efficient with time utilization as we can. And I think that's another key factor in doing and in accomplishing great things. You just have to use time as really as your greatest friend.
You know what? I have to laugh because one of the funniest things when you say in time, and I remember reading your chapter about time, I think it's time off, that you said even bathroom time can be your friend. You can utilize it.
No, I did many times. I had to take, when I was in the double doctorate program at Tulane, I had to take neuroanatomy at St. Louis University because of the time constraints of trying to put together two doctorate programs, that is, a doctor of medicine and a doctor of biochemistry. And I had to study even in the bathroom. It was just that simple. Time had to be, as I say, my ally, my friend, and not my enemy. And unfortunately, many people wander around kind of not knowing where they're going. And you ask them, you know, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? Oh, I don't know. Boy, they're in big trouble already. You've got to make a clear-cut set of goals and aim for it with a laser technology accuracy. Then, by putting in that persistence, you will get there.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dr. House. I mean, as a young boy growing up on a strawberry farm rural Ponchatoula, it's a beautiful city, antique, you know, antiques all over.
Absolutely.
And
good people.
Absolutely. Best food, everything. But, I mean, how were you, did your parents instill this, or was this just like self-propelled?
Yeah, it was self-propelled. In fact, my parents were fantastic in teaching morality and ethics, et cetera. They were extremely good people. I never knew either one of them to intentionally do anything to harm another human being. But when it came to achieving things, they were a bit shy. Many times when I would try, you know, tell them what I was going to do, that's, oh, that's not going to work, you can't do that, et cetera. Well, I had to let that go over my head and say, oh, yes, I can, just watch me and see. It's kind of like that old Toby Keith song, you know, what? How do you like me now when he achieves great success? That's one of my favorite songs, by the way.
you had to, that's a good message, too. Because you had to overcome, because your parents were in a different place, a different time.
That's
you know,
right.
A different, you know, locality. They weren't urban. And I mean, for you to be...
But see, Suzanne, even there at Southeastern, I wasn't content in just being a student, a pre-med student. I was the officer in a lot of the clubs there. I played music two or three nights a week. I worked at the psychology research laboratory about 40 hours a week. I even started a body shop with another friend of mine, et cetera, trying to get into the business world, all while I was on the dean's list at Southeastern.
Oh, that's incredible. Maybe I was one of your test subjects at Southeastern. No, I'm kidding.
Well, we were primarily in the animal laboratory and the rat lab. I don't know if you were there at a time when Dr. John R. Nichols was the head of psychology there. He was a great guy.
No, I don't recall.
Yeah, that was way before your time.
Well, no, not way, but I mean, we just won't go there. But you also have that success could also have the power to make you self-destruct.
Oh, that is so true, and you have to be so careful of that. Now, another thing that there was a movie that came out in 1941 called Sergeant York. You might remember that old movie. Gary Cooper was the star. He won an Oscar for it. And it was about, he was a World War I soldier. But before he left Tennessee to go into the war, he wanted to buy a piece of land so he could marry his sweetheart when he got out. Well, the guy that he wanted to buy it from in rural Tennessee said, well, how are you going to pay for it? You really don't have much money. So he explained to him, he said, well, I can do a day's work each morning, and I can do a day's work each evening. That way I'm getting two for one, and I'll be able to pay for it. Well, that stuck in my mind. And I said, you know, later in my life, I'll do a day's work each morning, I'll do a day's work each afternoon, and I'll do a day's work each night. I'm getting three for one. I'm serious. And it works.
I mean, it still goes back, which I'm still in awe of, because people don't realize time can be your enemy or it could be, you know, your greatest benefactor.
That's right. Exactly. You have to make time your ally and become really efficient with time utilization. Because if you're wasting your time, you're wasting your life, you're wasting your efforts that, you know, are going to lead towards the achievement of your goals.
What do you think about people, I don't know how, when they have unrealistic goals? We're getting ready to go to a one-minute break, but just before we go there, you know, people, you know, sometimes set their goals too high. Is there such a thing?
Well, there can be, and that sort of gets into that area of the power to self-destruct. Again, I like to say, think the impossible and then achieve it. But there are limits to that, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's where it can become a problem, to where your goal is an unattainable goal. And you have to use then those good old brains to say, wait, I have to make this realistic, something that I can, in fact, accomplish. Very important.
Okay, great. We're going to go to break right now, and I have Dr. Randall Hiles, and we'll be back with the one and only Fire Eater. Thank you. We'll be back.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Do you feel like sometimes you just don't know where to start with your health and fitness routine? Every week, you can hear from people who have been where you feel that you are right now and find out how they moved forward and are living their best lives ever. It's called Lifestyle 360, and your host is Nicole Monier. Get inspired to take control of your health and your life. Tune into Lifestyle 360 every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Dr. Randolph House, and he's the one and only fire eater I think anybody could say is superb at doing it, because his success rate at everything he touches, I mean, turns to gold, because he has the principles, the backbone, the brains, and the determination. So, to go on forward to empower you, we're back with Dr. Randolph House. Hi, Dr. House.
Hi, Suzanne. It's great to be with you.
So, in your book, Fire Eaters, you had said something about making your own luck. I think that was in the first chapter, too. And then afterwards, you said about, you know, accepting your fate. I'm just trying to balance how do you, you know, luck and fate, you know.
Well, again, fate is something that we do have to deal with at times, because certain circumstances will come up that are out of our control. But as Abraham Lincoln had said, the best way to predict your future is to create it. You make your own fate, and you do that by, as we had said from Calvin Coolidge even, persistence. Persistence. See that goal. Do not be deterred from it. Individuals that want to waste your time with frivolous things, avoid them. Stay away. Because there is such limited time in our lives, particularly if you're going to achieve great things. You do not have the time to waste it on just dilly-dallying around. You have to go towards those goals. Many of these things are extremely difficult to accomplish, but that doesn't mean that they cannot be accomplished. But it does mean that you're going to have to put out an extraordinary amount of effort to do so.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay, you're saying that with fate, excuse me, I'm losing my voice again. With fate, to go ahead and make your own history, like you were saying, what Abraham Lincoln said. So what about the people that present day that lets history repeat itself? So they not, they're allowing history to repeat themselves because they not making their own goal plan. Is that correct?
Well, that happens a lot. You know, they are so influenced by other people that that they let others set their limitations, set their goals. You cannot do that. You've got to be such an independent thinker that you realize that to make these things, that the goals that you want specifically, you've got to decide that, not them. And it can, again, be your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your spouse, your cousins. It's got to be you. It's got to be right for you. You know, Oprah Winfrey had said, you know, that you know you're on the road to success if you would do your job and not be paid for it. Well, now, there's a lot of truth in that, but I tend to like the idea of being paid for your job, too, in addition to doing that which you love. Yeah. That makes it really nice. Let's be truthful about it, you know? And in terms of letting things just happen to you, it was Leonardo da Vinci who said it had long since come to attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and they happened to things. They made things happen. They didn't just wait for things to happen. You mold that destiny just as, and the subtitle to my book came from a reporter in Baltimore. He worked for the Baltimore Sun. And he had written a story about me. And he said, there sat Dr. Howes, who could just as easily bob your nose as he could mold his own destiny. That's where the term came from.
Wow. So, you know, being also a plastic surgeon, what do you think of women that, well, you know, they're born a certain way and they wanting to change their features? I mean, is that, are they molding their destiny?
Sure. I have no problem with that. Anything that makes you feel more confident and better about yourself, I think is a good thing to do, because it takes a lot of confidence in yourself to be a fire eater. Because you're going to receive criticisms, there's no question about it. As I say, many people are threatened by you, many people feel envious of you, many people may be jealous of you, but you've got to have that inner confidence to just boldly go right ahead.
Okay, but so what I'm understanding, people, if you're physically attractive, you're more happy?
Well, that's what we tend to find out from all of the studies that are done. The more attractive you are, the better people relate to you, the easier it is to get promotions, the more money you make. All of those things are associated with a good appearance.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're up for jury trial and, you know, you're a woman and you're attractive.
Yeah.
You're a student. But what about these women that go to the extremes that try to make themselves look like a Barbie doll?
Oh, well, that's the body dysmorphia. Yeah. And, you know, they're individuals, as you say, who have a condition in which they're never satisfied. They do not know what their end goal is. Once they get something done, then they want more. You do that, they want more. You do that, they want more. They do not know the end goal. That's when they get into real problems. And there, most of those are trying to be someone else. Like you said, the Barbie doll gal. She's not going to be a Barbie doll. There is no Barbie doll. That's a toy, you know.
Right, right. I mean, I was flabbergasted doing research on the Barbie dolls. They have a website. I mean, it's like 26 pages where you can get different color Barbie doll eye contacts and all the things to make yourself look fake. And I'm like, that just confuses me. And psychology is like, why do you want to look fake?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. You want to be genuine and, again, confident with yourself. And the other thing is, you know, isn't getting along with other people. And as we say, the more attractive people, the more readily you're accepted by others. But getting along with people, in fact, Teddy Roosevelt, he said that the most important single ingredient in the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people. Well, obviously, that would be true for him because he was a politician. And he had to know to work with people. But even as a fire eater, you've got to have a certain ability also to get along with people, or you're going to have doors closed in your face.
Well, Dr. Haas, I mean, what do you think now, this generation that, I mean, we grew up differently, like, I mean, face-to-face contact, and now with social media and, I mean, this detachment of real relationships, having Facebook friends that you don't know, blah, 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 I mean, it makes it harder to have that authenticity when you meet somebody.
Now, that is indeed true, and for the children of today's generation, I honestly don't know where that's going to go. They're having to be taught now how to talk, how to get along socially with their peers, because they're relying on texting. And there was a recent study that just came out that said that these younger children average 1,500 texts a month. Well, I know some who do hundreds a day. But they're not seeing the other individual. They're only interacting on this text messaging, and they're missing a lot on people-to-people interactions. That really concerns me. I honestly don't know where that's going to lead. And so many times, even my grandchildren, I have to, you know, mention to them that when I like to take them to movies and such, but don't sit there with your little iPhone poking on it the whole time. I want to talk to you. Yeah. I want to get to know you. Right. And I can't do that if you're sitting there punching these buttons on your little machine.
And how can they see the social cues, the nonverbal? That's what worries me about the nonverbal ability to be able to, you know, flight of flight. I mean, that's been
absolutely. No question about it, because there is a lot of nonverbal communication in people, between people. You know, if we go to a party together, you and I, and I introduce you to a new friend that you didn't know, just say George, you'd never met him before. And then after you meet him, I say, well, you really didn't have any interaction with George, but what do you think of him? You might say, well, I liked him. Well, why? There was no verbal communication. Or you might say, I didn't like him. Well, why? What was there nonverbally that transferred in that communication that produced either like or dislike? And that's so important in the world today. And these children are going to be missing a lot of that social development. And I'm really concerned about where that might lead.
And, I mean, doesn't that come from the, correct me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, the amygdala, where the fight or flight, where it's a sense of, whether for survival, that it, they said, first 7 seconds, you make the first impression. And you can't, it takes like 16 times to revert that. I mean, it's just incredible. Is it the amygdala that's part of the brain that does the fight or flight?
Yeah, that's part of it, along with the whole adrenaline response or epinephrine response. And that is, as you say, either the fight or flight. And you have to know how to respond appropriately when you get those signals.
I mean, it seems crazy, but it seems like our country today is not realizing, like, what is an enemy and what isn't an enemy. I'm not going to get political, but I'm just saying that I'm wondering that there's a progression.
Well, I agree with you. And if you cannot define your enemy, how are you going to defeat your enemy? You can't. And that's one of the big problems that I see in today politically with, you know, the whole issue of ISIS and the Islamic and Muslim approach to things, in that our leaders have an extreme difficulty in defining our enemy. But our enemies have no problem in defining us.
And you know what I love? We're getting ready to go to break, but I mean, I love Sun Tzu and his, whether he existed or he didn't exist, whatever, but he said, in order to have victory, you have to define who your enemy is. Else
That's
there
right.
is no victory. So we're
That's
getting ready
exactly
to go,
right.
getting ready to go to break with Dr. Randolph Howells, and we'll be back. Thank y'all.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Like so many others, do you put on a game face to the world? The stress of home life, work life, and personal life converge on us on practically a daily basis. Yet, so rarely do we let others see our real selves, and we carry on like we don't have a single problem. We need to connect and to find out we're not alone. Tune into Stories from the Heart of Leadership with host Shamin Sadek to find out not only what's been created, but the story behind it. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Master your reality and manifest your desires effortlessly. Listen to The Trivedi Effect to find out how raising your level of consciousness can totally transform every aspect of your life. Hosted by Mahendra Kumar Trivedi with Trivedi Master Alice Branton, our program will spotlight the nearly 4,000 documented scientific studies that have proven the transformational impact of this energy extends beyond humans to all living and even non-living matter. Tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel or Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, we're back with Dr. Randolph House. And if y'all been listening this whole time, y'all been listening to somebody that is just so remarkable. So, I mean, beyond. I mean, you have to Google him, get his books, read his medical documentaries. Not documentaries, whatever, that's articles, I'm sorry. But anyway, we're back with Dr. Randolph House, and we're discussing his book, The Fire Eaters, and how to gain that empowerment and success through what you have. Everything that everybody owns and is God-given to you. So I'm back with Dr. Howes. Hi, Dr. Howes.
Hi, Suzanne. It's great to be with you today.
Yeah, and we were discussing, different things about success and how, you know, this younger generation. And we were talking about, when we went off air, about the nonverbal cues and how it's going to be more diminished, and that's which really is basic for survival in every species. And
yeah, no question about it. And remember, you know, that the quote there from Thomas Jefferson, who was saying that the most important thing is for success is the ability to get along with people. And unfortunately, our youngsters, as I say, are having to be schooled in how to get along socially with others, because they spend so much time on iPads and iPhones and MP3 players and all these sort of things that they're not participating in the social events that helps them to grow.
So what do you suggest that, for the parents of this younger generation, that they, so that they don't have isolated children?
Yeah, well, they have to take control and limit the amount of time on these electronic gadgets and insist on time with real, true-to-life little kids. Play with them. You might fight with them. You might just have a great time with them, but you need to interact. Now, this is all, you know, the bedrock for their future lives.
Right.
They've got to be willing to learn how to do that.
And it's also a primary breeding ground for crime with young kids.
No question about it. And, you know, even old Jefferson, he had another quote where he said, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude." And these kids have to learn how to get that right mental attitude. Nothing will stop them from achieving their goal, but nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude.
Well, you know what? I think it would be my suggestion to put your book in every school and start teaching. I mean, seriously, teaching the principles that, like I said, you don't have to buy these. I mean, you don't have to go to the store. You don't have to have money to purchase this to get success. You have to dig deep into your soul and decide what you want. Like you said, make a plan, move forward. What was it? Brains, guts, and nerve, right?
That's right. And then you've got to have that stick-to-itiveness to see it through. Old Colonel Sanders, who, you know, developed all of the Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise, he made a resolve that he was going to amount to something if he could. And no amount of hours, no amount of labor, no amount of money would deter him from giving the best that he had in him. And he did that throughout his life, and as we know, he was a winner because of it.
And in your book, you mentioned something about the teeter-totter mentality.
Yeah, that's a dangerous one, because many people think that if you go up in the world by a relative status, they go down. No. We want everyone to do well. We want that old image of a rising tide lifts all ships. We want to all do better, not just me and not just you, but all of us collectively. We want to do better, and we can do that. And America overall has done that a lot in the past, but we're going through a very, very difficult time right now in America.
Yeah, that's true. Division, and it seems like it's perpetrated. I mean, it's not a division that happened naturally. It was contrived division, trying to, you know,
that's right.
You know, one side against the other, which before speech was, you know, that was your opinion. And now it's like, if you have that opinion, you shut up. You can't have it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the traditional American goals and values are being redefined now, or some say transformed, and that's making it very difficult for those of us who were accustomed to the traditional values. We're seeing things now change within a generation. They're changing that quickly. Everything from same-sex marriages to, states approving the use of marijuana. We're seeing rapid changes now. And we're going to see more of them, and a lot of this is because of things such as these inner connections with communication, such as Facebook and Twitter. Things are changing very, very quickly.
I mean, you make a good point, because, you know, usually if I have friends over, we'd maybe discuss, which you're not supposed to discuss religion and politics, I was always taught, but I accept your views, you accept my views, but if you're on Facebook and you don't know that person, it's an all right war. I mean, and, you know, I mean, I unfriend you, I do this, I do that, and I mean, there's no solid, the way to make solidarity that this. And it goes back to not having that personal human connection, I say.
I agree. But these things are changing people's behaviors and their ideas about things that are considered the new normal. The new normal, I don't know what the new normal is going to be in about 10 years.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, you turn on the news and it's like, you know, like, oh, now beheadings in America? That's normal. Workplace violence, okay? Was that I don't know.
That is just incredible. And if that is not a wake-up call, I don't know what is.
I don't know, but I wish people would... I have, like I said, the schools be able to have this book. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's, you lay it out so succinctly. It's not complicated. It's not like, you know, you have to go through all these, you know, steps and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it's a great handbook on common sense to success and to succeed. If you have the nerve, the brains, and the guts to do it. Other than that, then don't pick up his book, because, like, you'd be a wimp, like he says. I mean, it's so true. I mean, you have to be a fire eater to want to even purchase his book to get ahead. And in the last 2 minutes, what is on your new horizon with everything you've done, and how can people contact you?
Well, I'll be going to China next month to give some lectures there. I was invited to go over and give some lectures there. And actually, I'm invited to India and Slovakia, too, but traveling's getting a little harder for me. I'm getting older, and it's a little more difficult. I'm sure you remember at times, too, when traveling was fun, but it's not so much fun anymore.
Right.
And but China's going to be interesting, and I just got a note from them this past week that they want me to meet with some of the Chinese elite there and share ideas in what they're calling like a little talent pool, if you will. And I'm really looking forward to that. And there is a gentleman from India who may be meeting me there too, who wants to pursue some of my ideas that I feel will revolutionize the way that we treat cancer. And that these contacts can be just fantastic, particularly if these other people are fire eaters themselves. You can make things happen then.
Wow, that's world-changing.
That is exactly right. Yeah, these things will change the way that we anticipate. I mean, what's the best thing we can do for your children and your grandchildren is provide for them means of prevention of cancer, means of prevention of heart disease. Because here in America now, there's hardly a family that we can name whose lives haven't been touched by these two diseases.
Oh, absolutely. I was a young girl, and I thought by the time I grew up that I never would even hear the word cancer. But we're getting ready to close, and I want to make sure. I'd love to have you back when you come back from China and talk about the other aspects, if you could, about cancer and your ideas. But we're going to close, so how can people get your books and contact you, anything you need to get out there?
Well, I'd like for them to check out the Fire Eaters at Amazon.com. The book is so cheap, it's $6.26. It's also at Barnes & Noble's and the other bookstores, too. They can order through there. And if that isn't a bargain of a lifetime, I don't know what is, quite honestly. I was willing to put those principles down and share them with folks, but I just wanted to help them because, as we say, we want all of us to improve together. Not just me, not just you, but all of us.
Right, and also you have music out there, too.
Oh, yes. Back in 93, I was fortunate enough to put a number one record on the panel report out of Nashville. And I've always enjoyed music, but in my later years here now, I still play for the medical shut-ins and such, and I really enjoy doing that. It puts a big smile on their face, and I like to go play gospel songs for the old folks.
Oh, Dr. Hughes, I can't tell you how honored I had you as my guest. Really, really. Thank you so much. And I'd like to invite you back after your trip. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Okay. Great show, y'all. I love it.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.